Well, good evening. It is a real delight for me to, in one way, shape, or form, come home. It's been more than 25 years since I was last in the Buffalo area in the capacity that I find myself tonight and for this next week. And what a blessing to be able to enjoy the convenience of the apartment here that's connected with the assembly. That's tremendous. And my sincere thanks and gratitude to those who made that possible. That is a real blessing and a real ministry. So 25 years, actually more than 25 years, and it's just great to come home. And I've already met a few tonight whom I remember from way, way back, and there may be others, and I may not recall right away, but if you'll help me along, it'll be great to meet and greet and perhaps even reminisce a little bit. I'm here this evening, also on Sunday evening, and then a week from tonight. So I expect on Sunday evening to really share in personal testimony, and as well as in great detail or in greater detail, share with you our ministry at Faith Academy in the Philippines. And that story is it's a thrilling story to me, and I trust it will be a thrilling story to you as well as an encouragement to you. One person who dearly would love to be here this evening, my wife Mary, and we had certainly plans for her to join with us tonight, but we were in Florida over the weekend. Mary was speaking at the missionary conference at Park of the Palms, and after her time there, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we received word that her mother had incurred a stroke in Victoria, British Columbia. My wife is from Victoria. And she got word that her mother had a fairly serious stroke, and we kind of monitored it for the next several hours. And then finally we got the word that it would be important for her to come home. So Tuesday morning on our way north from Florida to Buffalo, dropped her off very early at Jacksonville Airport, and she caught a flight from Jacksonville to Chicago, out to Vancouver, and then ferried across to Victoria, where she had relatives pick her up there in Victoria. Well, Wednesday morning, the Lord took Mary's mother home to be with himself about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. And the funeral services will be tomorrow at the Oaklands Chapel, another commending assembly for us. And Mary will be singing as part of a testimony, tribute, memorial to her mother there at the service. So we would covet your prayers. As you think of Mary, whom you haven't met, but Lord willing, she'll return to this area either Monday or Tuesday next week. And that would be dependent upon tying up any loose ends. Because the home was sold 4 years ago and Mary's mother had been in a nursing home, much of the disposition of material goods has already taken place, so there shouldn't be too much left to do. She would have been 83 years old this coming January. So she didn't suffer long, and we're delighted that the Lord has taken her home. Yes, we will miss her, and that's obvious. But when a soul goes home to be with him, it's certainly a delight for those who take comfort knowing that she knew the Lord as her personal Savior. So Sunday we'll share a little bit more in detail about our ministry at Faith Academy. And we're participating in the conference on Saturday. When Dave Stifler contacted us through email and invited us to this conference, it was just my heart skipped a beat. It was just great to be thought of to come back to the greater Buffalo area. Thank you for your prayers. I know that many of you have been praying already. Thank you for praying with us as we've traveled. We've already put on many miles in this time of furlough, this time of rejoining with family and friends throughout the United States and Canada. Thankfully, and this is where the Lord in his infinite wisdom was gracious to us, we had opportunity to spend about 3.5 weeks with Mary's mother in September. And even though she was in nursing home and had suffered up to that point in terms of strokes and not being able to communicate, we had a delightful time with Mary's mother on a daily basis. And the Lord planned that all out. We couldn't have planned it any better. Oh, it would have been great if the Lord had taken her home back in September. We were already there. We could have participated in a funeral and all of that. But for reasons that we don't fully understand, but they're not important, at least at this point in time for us, the Lord spared her until just yesterday. And that was a delightful time to spend. That was our first major trip. We're now on our second major trip. Part of our trip took us to see our two kids in Siloam Springs, John Brown University in Arkansas. And to go from New Hampshire to Siloam Springs to Florida, that's not a way to travel. That's really going way out of the way. But you see, it was my son's 21st birthday, and that was an important time. So we surprised him, and that was kind of fun. And then we were down in Florida this last week, and now we're in the Buffalo area for a week. Next week, Lord willing, we expect to be in the Chicago area. I'll be doing some Faith Academy recruiting. Because I'm involved in education, I am looking for teachers. I've got these little feelers out looking for teachers. And if you know of a teacher or teachers, Faith Academy is always looking for people to come out and participate in the education of the children of missionaries. And you let me know, and I'll see what I can do about persuading them, telling them, showing them the will of the Lord in their life by coming to Faith Academy. Tonight, I would like to look in the Scriptures and ask that you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And I'd like to look at what the writer here has for us, and may it be an encouragement to us, but also try to weave in a little bit of Faith Academy, a little bit of Philippines, to see how all of this ties together and how it comes together for us. We see the greatness of God in small things. We see the greatness of God, we see His wisdom, and oftentimes they're revealed in small things. I would say that the Lord delights to use small things. The Scriptures remind us in Zechariah 4 and 10 that we should not despise the day of small things. And you can search the Scriptures and you can find countless examples of how God uses small things to bring tremendous glory and honor to His name. I think of one smooth river rock in the hands of David the shepherd when he faced Goliath. One small river rock. I think of the small band of 300 men, Gideon's army, when he came up against that massive enemy, the Midianites, and slew every one of them. I think of the handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and how that sustained the prophet Elijah with the widow of Zarephath. Yes, the Lord delights to use small things. Let's not despise the day of small things. But here in Proverbs chapter 30, let's look at verses 24 to 28, because what we see here is God's wisdom, the greatness of God, revealed in small things. But we have four examples of nature. And let's just look at that. Starting at verse 24 of Proverbs chapter 30, four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard or spider can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. And we trust the Lord to add His blessing in the reading of the Scriptures together this evening. God's wisdom, the greatness of God revealed in nature, revealed in these four small things. Isn't it true? Has it been your experience that typically we would learn great, great lessons when we go through great trials? That's certainly true in my life. I'm sure it's true in your life. And yet the challenge that I want to encourage us with this evening is to see what great blessings, what great teaching can take place in our lives, and what a blessing and an encouragement they can be in our lives when we look at the small things. It's easy to learn great things from great trials that come our way. And we often forget to look at what great things can happen in the small things. Don't despise the day of small things. And the first example that we have here this evening, and the writer here in Proverbs, points us to those little tiny creatures we call ants. Now, I'm told that there are about 15,000 species of ants. Boy, when I heard that or read that, I was stunned. I really believe, though, after having lived in the Philippines, 14,999 of them live in that country. Ants. Boy, they can be little miserable creatures. I'm going to share two examples. One day I was coming home, and because our property and all the properties in the Philippines are surrounded by massive gates and fences, even many of them will have shards of glass embedded into concrete along the top edge of a fence for security. We don't want people coming in to our property, and that's true for almost every home in the Philippines. So when you do drive home, it does mean that someone's going to have to open the gate. And usually when my children are in the car, guess what they do when we get home? They have to open the gate. Well, I didn't have any kids in my car that afternoon, so I had to open the gate. Not a big deal. But opened the gate, drove in. Now I have to come back and close the gate. And it was coming back and closing the gate, I started to have these bites on my leg, and I could not figure out what was going on. And I went to look down, and there were thousands, perhaps millions, of ants. And these are these kind of army fighting ants that give a pretty powerful bite. And they were crawling up my leg, and it was awful. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out, where did all of these ants come from? So I was asking our house helper, I said, where did all of these ants come from? And she pointed up to the tree. And then she went on to say that the little boy that lives on our property took his basketball, and he saw this ant nest up in the tree, and he took the ball and he pitched it up there. Finally, he knocked all of these ants down. Well, they were not very happy at all. And they were taking their anger out on me, and I think they thought I was the perpetrator of all of this. But I wasn't. Well, you know, you get inside the house and you have to take drastic action to get these ants off you. And that's what we did. But I had these little bites all over my leg. And another time, in the middle of the evening, middle of the night, I had a very similar sensation. And it wasn't until the next morning and I woke up and I saw all of these dead ants on our bed. And I guess in the middle of the in the night when they were aggravating, I guess I must have been rubbing my legs and kind of in a comatose state, killing them. But I didn't think much about it. It was a little bit of an aggravation. But you know, the same thing happened the second night. And Mary said, "Oh yeah, I felt them too." Well, I could not figure out what was going on, but I had to search out and find out where these things were coming from, only to find out that we had an open piece of candy on the headboard of our bed, and those ants found it, and they took the shortest path, which was right over our bodies into that little bit of candy. In the context of the scripture reading that we have tonight, it suggests for us that although the ants are creatures of little strength, they do everything they can to store up food for the future. Take the time during the summer, they store their food. It suggests for us preparation. These little creatures in the wisdom of God take the time to prepare for the future. And you know, we look back on over in our lives and we see how God had prepared us for the ministry that we have at Faith Academy. And you know, he's doing the same with you this evening. He has a great plan for you if you know and love him as personal Savior. And what a blessing to discover what that plan is and then to work it out. He has a wonderful plan, and he is preparing you step by step, moment by moment, for whatever tasks he has for you. It's no mistake that the Lord directed our paths to Faith Academy. And I look back on how he prepared us, even using people here in the Buffalo area when I was a young kid, preparing us along the way. If I had seen 15 years down the pike and saw us at Faith Academy, I said, no way. In fact, I probably would have done things to make sure that we didn't get to Faith Academy. That's how dead set against I was being a missionary. And yet, God doesn't reveal the big picture. It's step by step, moment by moment, carefully executing a plan, all the time preparing us. And he's preparing you tonight. Just like the ants prepare for the summer, I should say prepare for the future by collecting in the summertime, God is preparing you, he's preparing me. And he continues to do that. The challenge for us this evening is, what are we doing to prepare for the future? It was shared this evening that one had opportunity to share with another serious questions about what is it with this relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's the fundamental question that each person has to reckon with, is how are you going to spend your future? There's no doubt that there's going to be an afterlife, and I should say life after death. For those that know and love the Lord, it's going to be with him forever in heaven. But those that have no personal knowledge or relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be an everlasting death. How are you preparing for the future? Faith Academy exists to prepare young people educationally. We also exist to help young people learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him, to know his love, and to know him in a personal way. School exists to prepare young people academically, spiritually, socially, and physically. And ants remind us this evening of preparation. So when you see those little critters running around, it would be wonderful if you'd think about Faith Academy, but think of preparation and think of how the Lord is preparing you for the work that he has, the plan that he has for you. Each of us who know and love him have a wonderful plan, and he's preparing us even today. Well, there's this another example, and we find that in verse 26. Conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags or the rocks. Now, I've never seen a coney, but I understand that they're about the size of a small rabbit, have a rather plump body with short ears, a small tail, commonly found in Lebanon and Sinai and the Dead Sea area in North Palestine. And apparently they're very feeble, they're very shy, rather hard to trap. They're easily scared. They're defenseless. They really lack the power to exercise any kind of meaningful defense. So rather, they would hide themselves in the hollows of rocks, make their homes in the crags or in the holes of inaccessible or accessible rocks. And that tonight suggests for us protection. It suggests for us protection. And I guess when we analyze all of this, we need to understand that as human beings, as great as we might be, we really are weak creatures, aren't we? In fact, we need protection. I think of the many times how the Lord protected us in the Philippines these last 15 years that we've been involved in ministry at Faith Academy. And there's just countless times that we have been protected or certainly felt and sensed his hand upon us. I think of it in terms of when we drive. I think of it in terms of the things that we eat. I think of even the things concerning the cultural blunders that we could easily make, not knowing how sometimes our actions are very offensive to Filipinos. When we think about driving and protection on the road, I'll never forget the time that I had a wheel fall off while I was driving along the road. The back right tire had fallen off. And I remember driving along, and every time I hit the brakes, I'd hear this thump, thump. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to have my brakes checked out. I thought I was having some problems with brakes. And I had just made a left-hand turn off a very busy major road in the Philippines. And after completing the left-hand turn, I look out the rearview mirror, and I see my tire come rolling alongside of me, not realizing it was mine. And why we never flipped back onto that tire that was missing or the wheel rim that was missing, I'll never know. But I think it was the Lord protecting us. Well, we caught up with the tire, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and thankfully a couple of Filipinos came over and helped me put the tire back on. But, you know, the tire fell off because the six lug nuts fell off the right rear tire, or left rear tire. And now I'm faced with a dilemma. How do I put the wheel back on and hold the tire back in place? Anybody have any ideas? Yeah, we took one lug off of the other three. I was so dumbfounded. I said, "How am I gonna get home? How am I gonna keep?" Oh yeah, they take one off, and that worked out just fine. Well, I guess when you're under pressure, you don't think of those things. But that was a very logical solution. I think too of how we've been protected in some of the natural calamities that often hit the country. We were involved in the earthquake that hit the Philippines in 1990. We were taking some new missionaries from our home in New Hampshire that were coming out to be at Faith Academy for just the year. And we thought we would take them to the northern mountain city of Baguio, noted for its much better climate, about 15 degrees cooler than the lowlands. The market area is a clean market. It would be a wonderful way to orient people coming out to the Philippines. And we thought we would, and we did. We drove the 8 hours north, and we had just settled into our little mountain cottage, and we were on our way to get some food for the evening when at 4:26 in the afternoon on Monday, and I believe it was July 19th, a 7.8 Richter scale earthquake hit the Philippines. And it was a terrifying 2 minutes of shaking that I had never been in before. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake, but it was a very scary moment. And the Lord protected us. You know, 2,200 people lost their lives in that earthquake, and yet our lives were spared, and we were very near the epicenter. And I think, too, how we could have easily been on that mountain road. And that mountain road is, especially the last 10 kilometers, are just winding up zigzag back and forth, and we do our greatest climb in that last 10 kilometers, bringing us up to 5,000 feet. And yet the Lord protected us, and how thankful we were, and reminded again of how simple things like protection on the highway is such a valuable thing to pray for and give thanks for as we go about our daily life. We were protected too from the volcano of Mount Pinatubo in 1991. We have also been protected from other things that have happened to missionaries, fellow missionaries. John Spears in 1990, I should say 1991, a CMML commended missionary who was in the southern islands of the Philippines to learn the Maguindanaoan language, to minister to Muslims in that part of the Philippines. And he took to learning the language. And yet someone found offense with that and came up behind him on a Monday afternoon and shot him in the head and killed him. And the Lord took his life. And yet we've been protected time in and time out. There's been problems with kidnapping. There's been problems with rape. And the Lord has continues to show his hand of protection on our lives, and we are ever so thankful for that. Well, we have another example, another small insect in the Bible here that we find in Proverbs. Verse 27, locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. Now, locusts are one of the most significant insects mentioned in all of Scripture. There's 56 different references over 17 books of the Bible that refer to and make mention of locusts. We know them to be one of the 10 memorable plagues of Egypt. We know, too, that John the Baptist found great delight in eating locusts and sustained him in his journeys there, as recorded for us in John. Now, a little research on locusts. Apparently, they can fly up to 19 hours in a given time period with the continuous flapping of wings. And in so doing, they can travel 8 to 10 miles an hour. They can be so dense that they have the ability to block out the power of the sun. It would not be uncommon to see or count 200 million in one square mile. The scriptures in Joel refer to locusts as the armies of God. In fact, when they march and when they're not flying, they're in a very orderly army-like fashion. And after flying in the evening, they would come to rest, and they would form little camps. After a good night's rest, they would all ascend together. And if there was no food in the area that they were camping in, why, they would fly in a direction that the wind would take them and look for anything green. When they occupy that space, it would not be uncommon to find them occupying a space 10 to 12 miles in length and 4 to 5 miles in depth. Tremendous insect, or the power of insects when they put them together. Not uncommon for them to pass over walls or to enter through doors, windows, and devour anything, as I said, that's green. And yet the scriptures tell us they have no king. They have no king. They can move together. They can band together in harmony and in unity. And yet it suggests for us this evening partnership and how much we depend in our ministry at Faith Academy on partnership. My goodness, if we couldn't partnership with the missionaries that we work with and minister with, why, it would be an upheaval. We also depend on partnerships with the missionary parents. Here we are, we have their most precious possession, and we're working with them, their kids, day in and day out. We depend heavily upon a good partnership, one with the other. And of course, we depend on partnership with many of the assemblies who have seen fit to pray for us in our ministry there at Faith Academy down through the years. Yes, we thrive on partnership. Isn't that true with the assembly right here in Buffalo? Don't we thrive on partnership one with the other? When each of us exercise our God-given gift and put it together, why, we encourage one another, we build up one another, and the church functions as it was intended to function, certainly as we find once again in the scripture, to edify and to build up one another. What a great thing. I'm reminded of the verse in Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Unity brings the things of the heart established with great. And we really get a sense of weakness when we find ourselves not partnering with one another, and how important it is to partner with each other to strengthen and build up one another. And then the last example that we have here in Proverbs, the scriptures tell us that a spider or a lizard, spider I believe in the King James Version, talks about how easily caught it is, and yet they're found in king's palaces. And I think of spiders. Again, we have some of the greatest and largest spiders I've ever seen right there in the Philippines. In fact, I have one picture in a slide, I didn't bring it with me this time, where the spider was as big as my hand. That is, with the body and the legs. And they're fast. Oh, I was not going to easily catch that one, let me tell you. But the thing I admire about a spider, and I don't really admire them much, but when you look at a spider and you see the incredible webs that they're able to weave, you can brush that web away and you know that spider comes right back and repairs the damaged web and weaves another one with mathematical precision in almost the exact proportion that it needs to be in. And it reminds and calls us together tonight to be ones that are known for our perseverance, A spider is one that is persevering, rebuilding a damaged web when it happens. And when I think of perseverance, one of the things that immediately comes to mind is prayer. Because when things tend to get tough, the prayer life is one of the first things that seems to be diminished in our lives. And yet the Scripture would call us together tonight to remember that when the tough gets going, that's when we need to be on our knees. We need to be on our knees all the time, but how often when things get tough, we seem to see the prayer life go away. And how important prayer is. And that perseverance, that stick-to-itiveness, knowing that the Lord loves to hear His children call, and we call to Him when we come to Him in prayer. I think of the words of the song, "Oh, what things we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Well, there you have it tonight. A word of encouragement from the Scriptures, knowing that the Lord delights to use small things. And I would challenge you just to reflect sometime in the near future, just reflect back and see how God uses small things in your life. Again, very easy to learn when we have the big things come in our life, but what about those small things? We have the ant that suggests preparation. The ant going about and preparing for the future. What are we doing in our exercise in preparation for what God might have us to do in the days, the weeks, the months that lie ahead? I think, too, of the coney reminds us of protection, how often we take for granted how the Lord protects us in our walk, in our talk, in our busyness for Him. The Lord protects us. And let's remember to thank Him for that protection. I think, too, of the locust in partnership. We're heavily dependent upon one another, partnering one with another and exercising the way He would want us to work together, even here in this local assembly, as well as our partnerships with those of our neighbors, whatever it might be. And then perseverance, the spider. When they spin that web of with the precision and the perseverance that they do it with, reminds us how important it is for us to be ones exercised and persevering and getting in there when the going gets tough. And I trust the Lord would encourage you this evening and remember to look at the small things and be encouraged with what He's doing in your life. He promises to provide and care because He loves us. And we love Him because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, it's been good to be reminded of these four small creatures that the author in Proverbs highlights for us this evening, knowing that we see Your great wisdom, but we also see how You work. We pray, Father, that You would cause us to be reminded the many times that You have worked in our lives in small ways, and help us to learn the teaching, and Father, to act upon that teaching as we review and think through how You have encouraged us in these small things. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to join together in the reading and the study of Your Scriptures. Thank You for each person here this evening. We've been reminded, too, that each of us carries burdens. Some have not even been spoken this evening, and we delight knowing that You know these things, Father, but we want to be courageous and bring these matters before You in prayer, knowing that You just delight to hear Your people come to You. And we do that this evening. We pray for each person in their need. I want to pray for Your hand to be upon Mary as she prepares to participate in the service there tomorrow and singing, knowing that the loss of a loved one brings with it its own set of discouragements. But Father, encourage her once again, knowing that there's great delight that her mother is now in Your very presence. And so we commit our evening into Your hands with thanksgiving. And may all that has been said and done tonight bring honor and glory to You, for we desire to do that. In Jesus' precious, worthy, and holy name, amen. Well, thank you again. It's been great to be with you this evening and look forward to these days ahead. And may the Lord encourage you as you seek to serve our King of Kings and Lord of Lords.